Good morning. Before King David established his dynasty, before King Solomon built the Lord's temple, before the rise and fall of every monarch and would-be strongman Israel and its surrounding empires had to offer, there was a woman, a foreigner, a Moabite. Her name was Ruth. In the context of the story Scripture tells, the book of Ruth is a remarkably small and simple affair. In the context of the grand events of human history, Ruth tells the story of a single displaced family and the two women at its center. It chooses the dining room table over the king's court, matters of the heart over the affairs of the state. It is one of only two books in the Bible that bear the name of a female protagonist. Allow me to back up here. Allow me to catch you up to speed. What we hear today is the end of the story, not the beginning. In the days when the judges ruled, so the story goes, a famine struck the land. Seeking a better life for his family, which is to say, seeking merely to survive, Elimelech the Israelite flees to Moab with his wife, Naomi, and their two sons. Among the Moabites, among the sworn enemies of the Hebrew people, they set down roots. His sons take Moabite wives, and they are content for a time. But tragedy strikes again. Elimelech meets an untimely death, then his sons follow suit. Elimelech's family is made up of nothing but three widows by the start of the story: Naomi and her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Naomi does what any sane widow in the ancient Near East would do. She tells her adoptive daughters to go back to their people, as she plans to do herself. Orpah does the reasonable thing. Though she weeps at their parting, she goes back to her kin. But Ruth refuses. Ruth remains. "Where you go," she tells Naomi, "I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." It is hard to capture just how unreasonable and irrational Ruth's decision truly is. How unnecessary her loyalty, how extravagant her love. "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." If I could make a change to the prayer book and be advised, before you get any ideas, that sitting on a liturgical revision committee is something I would not wish on my own worst enemy, the change I would make would be to add Ruth's promise to Naomi to the suggested readings in the marriage liturgy. Some of our newly approved marriage rites do have it, but it was not included in the 1979 Book of Common Prayer. "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." It puts our marriage vows to shame, not least because they are not marriage vows themselves. Remember, this is a promise Ruth makes to her mother-in-law, not her husband. And she makes this promise after her husband has already died. Ruth refuses to let go. Once family, always family. Ruth doesn't just stay. She chooses to remain by her side come what may. She clings to her mother-in-law, this person to whom she is not blood, the woman who was once refugeed in her own homeland, and follows her back to rely on the good graces of her people instead. In doing so, Ruth makes of herself a refugee. She displaces herself. She becomes a stranger in a strange land. There is a happy ending here. The story moves from famine and tragedy to redemption and abundance, from alienation to belonging, from destitution to plenty. But we miss the point if we do not count the cost. Ruth chooses relationship over comfort and security. Ruth charges into the unknown, standing tall and oh, so vulnerably exposed. Back in 1965, a student involved in an organization known as Students for a Democratic Society reflected on her experience with the civil rights struggle, her experience of trying to make the world a bit more just, a bit more loving. Freedom, she said, freedom is an endless meeting. Nearly 60 years ago, this young person captured something of the tedious nature of this work. Freedom is an endless meeting. This work is riddled with meetings that never start and end on time, meetings fraught with misunderstanding, derailed by outsized personalities, marred by public conflict, private agendas, and intractable differences. To work for freedom is to open yourself up to disappointment. The disappointment that comes when you realize that the social fabric is weaker than you had once hoped. The disappointment that comes when the way forward is a wilderness unto itself, assailed by dangers on all sides, shadowed in uncertainty and grief and loss. I've got to be honest with you. This reality makes me despair sometimes. I am discouraged by the rancor that passes for political speech. As people struggle to make ends meet, as children die in unnecessary wars, as billionaires try to buy our votes, as politicians stoke resentment, rage, and fear to accomplish their short-sighted goals, I sometimes lose hope. And what the Book of Ruth reminds me of in these moments when I feel faint is that the work of freedom does not begin in the hallowed halls of power, but in the tiny acts of human decency we practice in the places we call home. Freedom, my friends, is an endless meeting, an eternal return to the face of that person whom you once thought a stranger, an encounter with the face of Christ in them, in spite of all the ways this world capitalizes on our fears to force our retreat. This work begins when we face one another. This work begins when we refuse to let go. It begins when we choose to remain, come what may. That is the hope we share within the Christian community. We gather, we tell the truth in love, and we allow that love to cast out our fears. Some biblical scholars call Ruth a fairy tale. Its happy ending is too much for them to stomach. How could a Moabite, a sworn enemy of the people Israel, be the mother of their once and future king? How could the faithfulness of two widows give birth to hope amid famine and tragedy? I get why these scholars call it a fairy tale. Sometimes it feels so ridiculous to believe that things will work out. And if you find yourself there today, that is okay. I don't always know how to hope either. But when I falter, you help me believe. So maybe we can try to do that for each other. Maybe we can face this fractured, broken, divided world by working on the patch of land entrusted to our care. And maybe, just maybe, that will help us keep hope alive, come what may. May the God of wilderness wanderers guide our steps. May the God of Ruth and Naomi light our path. Amen.